you know how, like, people always talk about, like, every 10 years in a marriage or whatever, you kind of have to, like, relearn how to be married to that person? Like, yeah. I feel like we've had to relearn how to make this podcast since you've gone. Since you've been gone.
Yes, 100%. It feels completely different. Like coming, so before I got to the studio today, I got breakfast and I was like, normally I would just be like, oh, I'll just eat something little because after Becca and I will go somewhere. But we can't do that.
We can't do that.
Which is like a dumb thing. That's also, so I'm holding this up to limit echo.
Whoa, where'd you get that?
It was on the wall, but it fell off. So I have a piece of sound proofing that I'm just going to hold because I can hear this makes the echo go away.
That's hilarious. Yeah, we will see how my audio is. I turned off my fish tank bubbler. I couldn't figure out how to turn off the heater, so I just covered up the vent with multiple blankets.
Oh, good, good. That sounds safe.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. It's only for 2 hours.
I think you'll be fine. I wanted to ask.
We'll be fine.
Or I wanted to say the whole, we lost some audio, but we really enjoyed seeing everyone's Spotify Wrapped. I don't use Spotify for podcasts, and I listen to other podcasts way more than our own. So it didn't show up on mine.
Yeah. Well, Spotify decided I wasn't a dedicated enough podcast listener to give me even a top five or an estimate or anything like that.
Amazing. That's so sad.
It was devastating. Everybody was so excited about it.
My longest episode was Blank Check's 3-hour friggin' Fight Club one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, probably same. That might be their longest. Maybe someday people will. I do wonder who has listened to our podcast the most in the past year.
Well, I know some people
re-listen.
Like,
what do you think is the outside edge? Do you think it's like 5,000 minutes? Because we don't have 3-hour long episodes.
No, we don't. We have what, like 40 something episodes?
And we don't
release
weekly. 41. Real
41
ones.
Episodes.
There's Perfect Podcast and then there's Be More Specific.
Be More Specific is better. We've come to this conclusion.
Yeah, it's like, you know how there's BC and AD? It's like PP and BMS for us.
PP and BMS. I didn't realize how bad our acronyms were until just now.
One of them is already an acronym for something untoward, and the other one sounds
BMS
like a condition. But that's
good.
Okay. That's not what we're talking about today.
I don't know what we're talking about today.
I need to direct you.
You do.
Into a direction. How do you feel about...
I wish all conversations were like this. Horses? I'm kind of scared of horses.
Yeah.
They're too big.
Yeah. How do you feel about cowboys?
Hold up. I just got a thing on my Zoom that says running out of time.
It says for me, time left 9 minutes and 45.
What is happening?
3 seconds. What did you do? Did you set this meeting for half an hour?
No.
You know, maybe Facebook is the move.
Maybe Facebook's better, honestly. I think Facebook does, like, Zoom, like, tries to fix lag by, like, slowing you down or whatever. But I feel like Facebook's just a call.
Facebook's just a call.
Okay, you had asked me a question.
No, I want you to guess what we're talking about. So far, I was like, horses.
Yes.
And you're anti.
Well, I'm not anti-horse. I'm just, they're big.
What about, bulls?
Bulls are kind of scary.
Do you think that you'd be well-suited for bull riding?
No.
No? Okay. Do you have any idea what we're talking about today yet?
Is it cowboys? Because you said cowboys earlier.
You're getting warmer.
Is it just bulls? I don't know. Bull.
What do cowboys, horses, bulls, bull riding all have in common?
Becca, is it like rodeo?
Yeah.
Are you about to take me on an audio rodeo?
I am. I suppose. And by that, I mean a pretty exhaustive history lesson.
I'm so excited.
You gotta ask me a question.
Hmm.
That's how the format works. I don't ask you a question.
I'm thinking.
I mean, I guess I did.
You did. I'm just saying. You asked a question, so I was confused. Just kidding. Yeah. Hey, Becca. You're supposed to say yeah, Tegan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tegan.
When's the last rodeo you went to?
September.
Whoa. Can you be more specific?
Yes, I can. Welcome to Be More Specific, the podcast where an entomologist,
me,
and a film student, me, walk into a podcast and walk out with a 10-gallon hat. I'm Becca.
And I'm Tegan. I love my 10-gallon hat.
That's the best one so far, I think.
I really wish.
That just came to me.
I really wish I had a hat with me.
Did you even notice what's on my hat?
Becca's wearing a hat with a cowboy on it. Well, it's the Wyoming
logo, basically. I guess most states, like, it's not the flag, I don't think. I think we have a buffalo on the Wyoming flag.
Yeah.
But this, the poke, the Go Pokes cowboy mm-hmm. on a bronco is, like, a trademarked Wyoming thing.
That's kind of cool. I mean, Utah has the beehive, I guess.
Yeah, but that's their flag, so it makes sense.
Yeah, you're right.
But Wyoming has both the bronco and the buffalo.
Wyoming has a marketing department.
Yeah, and they have so little else, so we'll give it to them.
We'll give it to them, whatever.
Yeah, so I was inspired, actually, to talk about rodeos because I went to one in September, but it's been that long since I've researched.
We are currently recording, it is December 3rd, just to give the listener an idea of scale.
Yeah, it turns out that organizing a podcast is hard when you are in person, and it's even harder when you're not. Because we came up with a date, and then each of us had to cancel, and then we came up with another date, and
Tegan had to cancel.
And podcasting is, like, super in vogue or something right now, because even though I looked at the library's booth like a week and a half in advance, it was all booked up for the entire week.
And you know, these other podcasts are just like dating advice or whatever. They're not talking about the history of rodeos.
They're not talking about important, hard-hitting topics like the history of rodeos
or spelling bees. Like, we're covering only what the people care about.
If the people have been like asking for them. No, nobody's been asking for
the
this.
People meaning literally nobody. Becca.
Rodeos.
Giddy up.
What? Take a wild guess at what I'm going to start with today.
The etymology of the word rodeo.
it's the etymology of the word rodeo. So, the American English word rodeo is taken directly from Spanish rodeo, which roughly translates as roundup.
That makes sense.
It comes from the Spanish verb rodear, which means to, like, round up or mm-hmm. corral, or it's actually like an important word that vaqueros would use that kind of became co-opted, which we'll talk about a lot, by the American West. The roots of rodeos, which can be found in Mexico and Spain, in vaqueros, which are basically Spanish or Hispanic cowboys. Basically, you think cowboy.
I'm imagining a cowboy.
Yeah, describe this cowboy to me.
Ooh, okay.
What's he wearing? Yeah.
He's wearing leather chaps.
Yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I realize I don't mm-hmm. need to close my eyes, so I'm opening them again. jeans uh-huh. underneath.
Sure.
His leather chaps. Cowboy boots, of course. A little vest, uh-huh. maybe, with, like, tassels.
Yeah.
A white shirt, for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
A bolero mm-hmm. tie
mm-hmm.
and a 50-gallon hat.
A 50-gallon hat.
Yeah, he's in charge.
So I would say that literally all of the items that you just described were taken from Mexican vaqueros.
I mean,
the aesthetic has changed so little over the years. and it started out being very like practical.
From what I understand, all the cowboy like clothing stuff, the reason why it's so funny when people in like cities dress up like cowboys is because all of those items of clothing are like uniquely practical.
for one purpose. The thickest material, so stiff. And this is because basically vaqueros and cowboys were freelancers who would just travel from place to place with just whatever they could carry on a horse, and they'd work on large ranches. And these regions would include Durango, Coahuila, and Chihuahua.
Mm.
And then, you know, as the 1800s went on and there was the Civil War and everything, America just kind of expanded into more and more of Mexico. We got Texas and whatever. And we took a lot of their culture through that industry, through the ranching industry.
Yeah.
And what is also really interesting about like these really early cowboys is that it was largely people of color. There's like mestizo people who were Native American and Spanish, black people, like, you know, taken from Africa, tons of indigenous people, and criollos, which were Spaniards who were born in North America. Yeah, so ranching was definitely pretty predominantly people of color for a long time. And they would do cowboy things. They would round up the cattle. They would, you know, use their lassos and whatever to round them up so that they could separate them and brand them, rather than having to, like, literally corral all this massive number of cattle. Individuals just got really good at being able to round them up wherever they were. And that was a lot cheaper because you wouldn't have to transport them all the way home every time.
Yeah, you could just get them to.
And you wouldn't have to, like, build structures.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so early rodeo-like affairs happened in the 1820s and 1830s where these people just, you know, started having a good time and showing off their skills to each other and making a competition out of it. Like, it just became a game because lassos are fun.
Amazing.
And they would test their skills against each other.
Would you, if you could, like, would you ever be willing to put the skill into, or the time in to learn how to lasso? It feels like it might be useful. Do you know what
That's a great question. I don't think it would be useful for the industry, which I want to go into.
I mean, I guess I could.
Or for perhaps most industries, like, would you say that lassoing is useful in a modern day world? Like, explain to me what you mean by.
I mean, like, there's so many times where I'm like, man, it'd be so cool if I could just like grab that thing up there, and if I could lasso.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess lassoing flies might be difficult.
Yeah, it would take some skill. I would like to see a version of the Karate Kid with. Rather than, like, an old mystical Chinese man who, like, catches a fly with chopsticks.
It's like cowboy.
A weathered Spaniard who lassos a fly out of the air.
Oh, that would be so cool.
He uses, like, dental floss.
Oh my gosh. You make little lassos for lizards out of fishing line.
That's
true. You've been there. You've lassoed a lizard.
I haven't lassoed a lizard, but I've seen lizards lasso.
Lizard rodeo. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. So a lot of like the typical events that people associate with rodeos, which are all of the ones where you use lassos to like capture animals.
Catch a greased hog.
Greased hogs are not standard in rodeos.
Yeah, this ecclesiastical leader had a ranch, and we would have a hoedown every year.
Oh.
And at the hoedown, he would grease a hog and release it into a pen. And whoever could catch the greased hog got like $100.
How successful were people?
I think
like,
so,
would there always be somebody who could do it?
Yes, I almost got it one year, and then this little kid like elbowed me and grabbed it. So.
Of course.
I'm still bitter, but I'll get over it someday.
Someday. Anyway, so like all of the roping events are like pretty directly contrived from like actual jobs that the vaqueros would carry out. And then there's also bull riding, which has kind of a different genesis. Like, it did originate with Mexican contests known as charreadas, which were wrestling a steer to the ground by riding up behind it, grabbing its tail, and twisting it to the ground.
Holy crap.
Yeah, like, super intense. And then there was also, like, actual bull wrestling was a part of an ancient tradition throughout the ancient Mediterranean world that then leaked over to Spain, and that was brought over. So, like, the ancient Minoans of Crete apparently practiced bull jumping, bull riding, and bull wrestling.
I guess Hercules doesn't he wrestle a bull?
I think that is one of the things he does, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
And there are theories that bull wrestling may have been an Olympic sporting event for the ancient Greeks.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. And then these events spread through New Spain and were found at fairgrounds, racetracks, fiestas, and festivals in 19th century southwestern areas. So, like, 1800s is when a lot of this became, like, sport and entertainment rather than utility.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of stuff became, like, once we had, you know, pretty stable food, it was like, well, gotta do something on the weekend, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that certainly helps. And then, I don't remember, do you remember what year the Alamo is? That was part of the Mexican Civil War, right?
I have never been to the Alamo, but my family has, and we have, like, a rock that says, remember the Alamo and the date? And I don't know what the date is, so...
Okay, I do not remember the Alamo, so I'm gonna look that up real quick.
I do not remember the Alamo.
Okay, it was 1836, part of the Texas Revolution in which the Mexican state of Tejas won independence and became a self-governing republic. Okay, so yeah, there was, obviously in the 1800s, a lot of the American boundaries were super in flux, and culture started leaking over, conquest was still going on. And American, like, Anglo-American Southwestern individuals started taking a lot of the culture from Mexico, but also a lot of, like, Mexican people were coming over and, like, bringing it over themselves, and it was just a lot of intermingling.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a whole new industry for America. This is what, like, the frontier is. This is what Westerns are about, is that, like, people are starting to bring over cattle across the country. It became, like... cattle products were becoming really in demand in, like, urban centers on each of the coasts.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, tons of exploration just bringing cows over to where people wanted them.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think that's when cows show up in Utah, too, where you end up with cattle running in places that perhaps are not ecologically able to sustain cattle. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It is interesting to see, like, how rodeo is pretty prevalent in, like, a surprising number of states that you, like, wouldn't even necessarily expect. Like, as far as, like, Nebraska, you know? Like,
oh, really?
And so, yeah, by the time the U.S. annexed Texas in 1845 and claimed a large chunk of Mexico along with it, the vaqueros were seeing their culture absorbed into the cowboy lifestyle of the American West. I'm going to read you a quote that I think is interesting. It is a beautiful sight, U.S. Army Captain George W. Hughes said in San Antonio after watching a vaquero perform. He rides well and fearlessly and throws the lasso with unerring aim, chasing down some refractory animal that he seldom fails to catch. So it became like, it's a really romantic point of view. It's like peak pinnacle of masculinity, performance. It's also a kind of a noble savage thing.
Yes,
almost.
It sounds the way he described that man sounds like how a lot of research papers will describe predators.
Oh, interesting.
Like very, very similar verbiage to how, you know, I read papers about, oh, this ambush bug or whatever. It's like this elegant predator is voracious and rarely misses. And you're like, ooh.
Interesting, like, yeah, it's super interesting.
It makes sense when it's about a bug, but when it's about a person, you're like,
yeah. And also, really interestingly, is that it was in the 1850s that freedmen also took up the sport. So freed, like black people.
Yeah.
In the decades after the Civil War, it's estimated that as many as 1 in 4 American cowboys were black.
Is it?
You don't.
Was it like a good?
You don't
way?
See that in American movies.
No. Was it a good way to like get? I don't know. Get like a name for yourself. Get money.
I don't know if I'd say like a name for yourself, but it. Or even necessarily good money.
Just something you could do.
I would say it's, yeah, it was something that, like, you were allowed to do because, like, the primary thing that they wanted was just, like, you know, strength.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of men genuinely were cowboys. And, like, the barrier to entry was relatively low. It wasn't, like, a super exclusive club. Like, there were a lot of Native American cowboys, too. Or
I've
I guess just indigenous
that.
People, because
yeah.
the boundaries of America are a little hazy, but...
yes.
Which is, yeah, it's super interesting, because I'm a big fan of, like, Western movies, but most of the movies that... Western movies that have, like, black people as main characters are... referred to as revisionist westerns.
Interesting, but they're not.
Same with like women in like lead roles or
yes.
Native Americans, because it is different from like the typical Western movie tradition. But like there are absolutely stories out there of all of these very real individuals doing the same things all the white men
well,
were doing.
I have a favorite homesteader. Her name is Eleanor Pruitt Stewart. And she was mm-hmm. a single woman who homesteaded like a crazy amount of land in Utah.
Yeah.
But she knew how to lasso and corral stuff. Like she served the function of a cowboy because she had to like run her cattle.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything about her.
Yeah. It's honestly like pretty lame.
I know that makes me want to see.
Like, the vision of the American West, I think, has been, like, so co-opted by a very, like, libertarian, white male point of view that I don't think
when
is, like,
men
very
were
realistic.
Men. Yeah.
Yeah, versus, like, it, I don't know. There are a lot of aesthetical things about it that I love, and there's, like, a really, like, deep connection to the environment mm-hmm. and, like, a love for, like, the animals that you're ranging.
Yeah.
And that I admire a lot and that I think that, like, we could learn from. But the whole history is obviously so loaded for, like, very obvious reasons. But it was also, like, hard, back-breaking labor
yes.
that that isn't very glamorous. I just don't think the conversation is very nuanced about it.
Yeah.
Like, most of the people who are interested in... the Wild West, I think, aren't necessarily interested in it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a strange thing to say, probably. And, like, I also think that, you know, people can be interested in things for all kinds of reasons. I just think the demographics, especially having a sister who owns multiple, like, businesses in a cowboy ghost town in Tombstone, Arizona.
Yeah.
Where, like, the visitors there tend to be, like, old white men.
Yeah.
For some reason. That's just the way it is. They idolize John Wayne. When they were kids, and like that's
yep.
the thing that they want to do.
Well,
instead
it's
of being
become
like,
it's almost become like a fantasy where it's like,
oh, absolutely,
yeah, the yeah. fantasy of being a cowboy living off the land, but you don't factor into that blisters and broken arms and constant concussions and all of these other things that yeah are part of the job.
Yeah, yeah. So it is really fascinating to, like, dig a little deeper into the history and recognize that, like, a lot of hard labor was pretty inclusive.
Yeah.
Because they just needed bodies. Like, it's the same with, like, very early filmmaking, is that, like, all kinds of people were involved in making films in the 1920s before politics got involved, before, like, the American government decided that black people weren't allowed to be on screen anymore.
Yeah.
And... women weren't allowed to work anymore. Like, I actually think it's kind of a similar history. Like, it's weird to know that about film history and then learn that about the American West and realize, like, oh, this has happened in probably every industry at some point.
I think that's true of science, too. There's a lot of, like, at the early frontiers of stuff, there's a lot of different people. You have a lot of, oh, the first woman to do this was around the same time. but then all the women disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like inclusive long enough for it to get popular, and then the powers
at and then it becomes exclusive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah, it's so fascinating and depressing, but also fascinating. And now we're going to talk about some of the, like, really interesting individuals.
Are there, like, are there modern cowboys?
Yes.
Because I know there's modern ranches. Like, I've helped out on ranches, but not...
Cowboys are kind of a dying breed, and I think where you do find cowboys most often now is in rodeo. Like, that's how people express that, is through competition rather than business.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about these fanciful folks.
These fanciful folks? So, I will say that during the American Civil War, organized rodeo competitions emerged. This was also people, like, during wartime, I think a lot of games are kind of created because you don't have the option to, like, operate your business the way you normally could. And so people are just trying to
keeping morale up.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? That whole concept is, it's still here.
Yeah. So the first organized competition, people signed up, people like, you know, there were entertainers and whatever, supposedly happened in Deer Trail, Colorado in 1869. Mm. There are a bunch of towns in the West, though, that, like, claim to be the site of the first rodeo. There's also...
Unsurprised.
One in Arizona, because I think... the one in Arizona, I think it's because, like, they're the first rodeo where people, like, paid ticket sales or something.
Interesting, like, yeah.
The divisions get pretty nitty-gritty, but... So yeah, competitions were being held, and then between 1890 and 1910, rodeos became public entertainment. So there's also the idea of Wild West shows that existed, like, alongside rodeo competitions, and they would have a lot of the same people participating in them. Entertainers would perform at rodeos, competitors, they would get good enough to, like, perform for entertainment, and... Individuals who were in these Wild West shows included some big names you probably recognize, including Buffalo Bill Cody, Annie Oakley, and Bill Pickett.
Okay, I didn't realize that they were in shows. I thought they did stuff and then other people, like, I thought the big names were, like, real. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, so you thought Annie Oakley was, like, a regular rodeo cowboy who, like, they made a musical about?
Yeah.
She, like, yeah, she performed in shows. That was, she was a sharpshooter. So, like, and she performed for entertainment. The more organized competition that would become American Rodeo gained popularity at events such as Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show, which began in 1883 as a massive spectacle with hundreds of performers.
Amazing.
And in 1893, 10 years later, his shows drew as many as 3 million attendees outside Chicago during the World's Columbian Exposition.
That's
something that's also crazy about history, is that, like, one event, like Woodstock, or, you know, the Chicago World Fair, or this apparent Columbian Exposition would draw millions of people.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like that really anymore.
Where would they stay? What was the, you know what I mean?
Tents?
Yeah. Like, what's the infrastructure?
I don't know.
We can't even have the Olympics now without it, like, just absolutely shuttering a city.
That's so true. I've never thought about that. I was just kind of, like, getting all starry-eyed about, like, people used to be united, but everybody's so fractured now.
They must have, been tense.
It must have been, yeah.
Yeah.
They were forming shanty towns outside of Buffalo Bill's Wild West show.
Oh, how I wish that could be me.
And it is interesting that, like, the Wild West, it's really interesting, Western movies, something like 90% of Western movies are set between, like, 1895 and 1905. Like, in terms of, like, the Great American West, there's a relatively short amount of time when people were actually, like, in towns like Tombstone, like, settled in them. When the Gold Rush was happening, when, like, the frontier was happening, and they were just expanding and creating new industry and everything, and then things got... a lot less frontiery and a lot less exotic, like, relatively quickly when the railroads were built. Like, when the railroads were built, cowboys died out. Like, yeah.
Because suddenly you don't need to travel on a horse.
Yes, literally.
Wow.
That's what the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is about. Like, it's about how cowboys were rendered, like, our idea of the Great American Cowboy was rendered obsolete, like, relatively quickly. And so as soon as the early 1900s, shows like Buffalo Bills were already romanticizing the West.
Like, interesting.
It was a pretty immediately transition from, like, the Wild West to what people romanticizing think the West. To, yeah, what people think the Wild West was.
I wonder if that's why there's such a disconnect between what actually happened, because it happened so quickly.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. And I think that also explains why the aesthetics are so, like, set in stone. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, almost
Arrested Development. Man, we need to do an episode. Yeah, we need to do an episode on pirates. Now I'm wondering what that story is, too.
Oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. I'm surprised it's never
Pirates and me. Gold Rush. These are the two. You said Gold Rush, and I was like, oh my gosh. I had to learn about the Gold Rush, like, a weird amount.
Maybe I can finally put that to use. You talk about the Gold Rush a weird amount, so.
Well, the Gold Rush was really important, Becca. I don't know if you know. Every Californian talks about the Gold Rush, like, way too much. It's our one defining characteristic.
That's very funny. I mean, I had, like, a whole unit when I lived in Wyoming about Butch Cassidy, so, like.
No wonder you like cowboys. That's crazy. I love it.
We visited one of the prisons he stayed in, like, for a field trip. It was a prison.
We went to, like, the missions, and they were like, hey, you should probably be sad. And we were like, yeah.
Sounds good.
That was our, yes.
That's very funny. Anyway, yeah, so there's a million reasons I think the American West is interesting. But also, it's one of those things where, like, if somebody's a little too interested in the Civil War, you, like, raise an eyebrow. And I think that's sometimes the impression I give when I'm like, I love Western movies. And people are like,
Interesting.
But truly, the Western movies I love the most are the ones that have, like, female main characters. Because I think they're subversive and interesting. And, like, the Wild West was also a time where women were given more autonomy. Or not given, but women had more autonomy than a lot of other spaces.
Well, yeah. Isolation tended to breed, like, feminist ideals. I feel like that's happened again and again in history.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting for that reason. So yeah, there's Annie Oakley. Like, there were tons of female performers who would get really big. And we'll talk more about, like, women in rodeo, because it's, like, kind of a whole expansive topic of its own. But another name I wanted to, like, get into a little bit is Bill Pickett, who kind of pioneered steer wrestling as an event.
Ooh.
He basically created, like, his own method of wrestling steers, or bulldogging steers is what they'd call it. So yeah, Bill Pickett, he's a black cowboy from Texas who would jump from his horse to a steer's back, bite its upper lip, and throw it to the ground by grabbing its horns. This is not really a method that's used anymore because
of my eyebrows are all the way up.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And he would perform at tons of fairs. He was on a tour of the West. That's another interesting thing. These shows weren't just in one place. They were traveling shows, just like, you know, a circus would be. And yeah, he was a huge name.
It sounds like a circus, just with alternative branding.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of treating it. Yeah. Even down to, like, the accusations of animal cruelty that are lobbied at them, which we'll talk about more. It's an interesting topic. So yeah, Bill Pickett, pretty cool. Who knew women and black people were such a huge part of the beginnings of rodeo?
We're good at shooting good and wrestling animals to the ground. That's what we need to do to succeed.
Yeah. And so these shows and competitions were prevalent for years. There was no standardization of events until 1929, when different associations began to form. namely the Rodeo Association of America, which was actually made up of promoters and managers who organized the events. That's another thing, like, it was coincident with, like, the beginnings of the film industry, so, like, people had managers and, like, promoters. Like, it was very much a...
Like, suddenly you need someone to, like, be a manager. You can't just go on your own.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. But in 1936, a group of performers walked out of a show at Boston Garden to protest insufficient pay. These people organized the first cowboy union called the Cowboys Turtle Association.
Turtle? Did you say turtle?
I did. Apparently it was obsessed. Named that because organizing was such a slow process and the association finally stuck their neck out.
That's hilarious. Good for them. Yeah, I love a union.
A good sense of humor. And it worked. Like, they unionized and they got more fair compensation. And then, unfortunately, good. In 1945, the group renamed itself the Rodeo Cowboys Association.
I mean, I get why. Yeah. But also, come on. A little flavor never killed anyone.
Yeah. And this also, they were named that for a little bit, and then the Managers Association, the Promoters Association, and the Cowboy Association all merged to become the PRCA, which is the... Oh, why did I not write down what that acronym means?
You thought to yourself, I'll remember.
Oh, the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, which is the governing body to this day. So, like, they've been...
I was going to say, I feel like I've seen their logo at the rodeo.
Yeah, probably.
In Santa Maria.
And there are a lot of rodeos that are organized without the oversight of the PRCA. But the PRCA is definitely, like, the biggest body, and their competitions have, like, the biggest payouts.
Got it.
They're the ones who hand out national titles, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then in the 1970s, rodeo saw even more growth. Contestants were referred to as the new breed, who brought rodeo increasing immediate attention, and these contestants were often from, like, urban backgrounds. And by 1985, one-third of PRCA members had a college education, and as many as one-half of the competitors had never worked on a cattle ranch. So it became...
Weird.
It officially became a sport. Like, not necessarily...
Yeah.
I think the delineation is that, like, for a long time, this was an opportunity for professionals to show off their skills and compete with each other. Professionals meaning, like, they make money from ranching. And
yeah. But
that
now
is,
it's
like,
just...
No longer the case. Yeah.
It reminds me of, I feel like logger competitions where people split wood and stuff. Now it's just like a strongman thing when it used to be like, no, these are lumberjacks.
Like, who can lumberjack the best? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and since the 1970s, there are still like Black and Hispanic participants, but it's still, like, the rodeo game is still primarily, like, white men.
I'll say Santa Maria is mostly, like, I don't know, the concept of there being a lot of, like, specifically Mexican cowboys is so, I'm like, duh. Because that's, Santa Maria is, that's what we're built on.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And I'm sure it depends on the area, and it just so happens that a lot of the areas where rodeo is, like, still a big deal. Like, I'm thinking of Laramie, Wyoming.
Oh, yes.
Where I lived for a long time, and it's just not a crazy diverse town. It's more diverse than Provo, but, like...
Yeah.
Rodeo...
California is always weird, too.
Yeah, that's true. And there are also, there are separate leagues, like, Native Americans, who were obviously, like, a huge part of rodeo throughout its entire history. They... decided to have their own rodeo organization. They're like, we're not dealing with the PRCA anymore. Like, we're doing our own thing.
Like, we have our own. I'm sure there's also some degree of, like, different, like, cultural practices and
and they have, like, slightly different events, and probably they treat their animals differently. Like, it's become its own culture, and I imagine that, like, these people could compete on, like, a national level in, like, the more mainstream league, but it seems like they just have little interest in it. But yeah, there are, like, there are still Black and Hispanic participants who do very well. There just aren't as many as them. And then in terms of, like, where rodeo stands today, it's still a hugely popular sport. Like, it's estimated that there are over 30 million people who participate or spectate in rodeo events every year, which is, like, a tenth of the United States population. Like,
I was going to say, we're part of that. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I know. Like, because it's... because it's fun. I don't know.
It's so fun. Well, and as a kid, it kind of stressed me out, I'll admit.
Yeah.
Especially they have like junior cowboys or whatever, where it would be like a kid on like a sheep. And that really stressed me out.
Mutton busting?
Yes. But now, I don't know. I feel like it's... but I've calmed down a bit.
Yeah. Injuries are relatively rare. I will say that... so we talked also about how, like, women were a pretty big deal in the age of, like, Annie Oakley. Mm-hmm. They have long participated in the same events up till 1920 when, up until 1929 when a woman named Bonnie McCarroll died in the Pendleton Roundup. And then in 1933, Marie Gibson died in a horse wreck and people were like, okay, women can't participate anymore. Like,
wait, were men dying as well, or was it just...
Probably. But it just was much more scandalous when a woman
died. We have to protect our women.
It seemed like it hit harder, yeah.
Got it.
But women, after that, started forming their own leagues, basically, like we were talking about with, like, Native Americans. They staged
That's
their
what
own,
happens.
They staged their own shows, they organized into associations... and in 1948, they formed the Women's Professional Rodeo Association, which would, like, collaborate with the PRCA to, like, kind of gradually reintroduce women back into the fold.
Mm.
But it's not, like, complete. Like, women, there are rodeo queens who make a lot of money, and in the 90s, finally... women and men got, like, pay parity in terms of, like, reward money for the events that they participated in. It took a long time. It took, 90s. Like, it took total solidarity. It took really big male rodeo kings to, like, threaten to strike, basically. That's what it took. But got now it pays pretty good. And in terms of, like, the really big rodeo competitions, the payouts for, like, winning a certain event are often around, like, $100,000. So if you want to get that first 100,000, Tegan, you got to become a cowboy.
Oh, I need to become a cowgirl. So, I would be the worst.
And honestly, it was, like, really difficult to sift through all of the history because there's, like, a lot of bureaucracy involved. There's a lot of associations that formed and dissolved and, like, a lot of, like, the Wikipedia page is pretty comprehensive. and I think a lot of the more recent developments are just less interesting because it became like everything else does, where like bureaucracy,
just politics,
yeah, just politics, exactly. But it's
no, that makes
it's
sense.
Still an interesting world. Today, women have their own sport, which is barrel racing. It's included as a competitive event. Payouts are huge. It's women only. And
what's barrel racing?
They race horses around barrels very, very, very fast. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, I've seen
it. I actually
this.
Think it's like,
yeah, on TikTok.
I actually think it's the most entertaining rodeo event. Like, I find it much more impressive than the bull riding or the Broncos or the roping. Roping can be pretty cool too.
I like the roping and I like sharpshooting.
Oh, sharpshooting is super cool, too. But just, like, barrel racing, there's something about how, like, agile the horses have to be and, like, the connection between the horse and the rider. And it also lasts longer versus, like, a lot of bull riding. You have to stay on for, like, six seconds or something. What?
Hey, Becca, are you a horse girl?
No, I actually think horses are kind of scary.
Oh, okay, cool. We're the same.
Jenny's a total horse girl. I know horse girls, but, like...
oh, Jenny's... yeah.
I know. I was waxing all philosophical about the connection between a girl and her horse, which is pretty funny, isn't it?
That's why I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. No, I just... I just think animals are cool.
Are you trying to decide if you're a horse girl right now?
I am trying to decide if I'm a horse girl right now. You really just like, am I? I don't think I
can. I'm opening doors.
I don't know. I just think about the kids I knew when I was young who had like tons of horse figurines and whatever. Like, I think I'm a cowboy girl, but I'm.
I feel like if you met a horse and they were like, oh, this horse only trusts you, you would like that horse quite a bit.
I would like that horse.
I would probably get jealous of the horse. Interesting, Tegan.
What if I liked a horse more than you?
I would be so sad.
I don't know if I could ever like a horse more than a person. And I think that's the difference between a horse girl and a not horse girl.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe that's
like, that's
it.
The thing about horse girl movies. I like, is that like they connect on like a deep level.
I like Sammy. I think I like Sammy more than some people.
Yeah.
But definitely all not people. Most people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Something to think about. Animals are so interesting.
Animals are interesting.
Also, in terms of, like, trends in the competition, specifically, before World War II, I thought it was interesting that the most popular rodeo events included trick and fancy roping, trick and fancy riding, and mm-hmm. racing. So, basically, trick and fancy roping contestants had to make figures and shapes with their lassos before releasing them to capture an animal. These skills would be exhibited on foot and on horseback. So that, it feels to me a lot more like, what is it in gymnastics? The ribbon twirling? Like, it's that kind of thing versus now. I wonder if it has something to do with people have this, like, very particular idea of the rugged American West where, like, rodeos are to prove that you're a real man who can rope up animals for practical reasons versus, like, performing.
Yeah. So what's popular now? If it used to be trick, lasso,
there's
and
not,
stuff?
There's... In most rodeos, trick roping and riding just isn't as, like, it isn't really a thing anymore. Like, it's certainly not as lucrative. The only five events that must be included in PRCA-sanctioned rodeos are calf roping, bareback and saddle bronc riding, bull riding, and steer wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
Weird.
Yeah, and oftentimes there are other events that, like, happen at rodeos, but those are, like, the big five.
You know, the Santa Maria Rodeo, at the start of it, every year, a man jumps out of a helicopter with a giant American flag, like, tied to his back, and then he skydives into the arena. And I thought that was, like, a part of all rodeos. You're telling me that's not a part of all rodeos?
I'm telling you that's not a part of all rodeos. But rodeos are still, like...
Amazing.
There's a whole history of, like, performance at rodeos where rodeos were becoming out of vogue until Gene Autry, who's a big country singer, performed. And, like, people showed up in droves. He was really passionate about rodeos. And they just started...
Well, rodeo clowns are a thing, too,
right? Yeah, I will
talk
about rodeo clowns, but... Because rodeo clowns aren't actually as much performers as they are utilitarian. They need to be there to protect bull riders.
Really?
Yeah, I'll just talk about it right now, actually. So rodeo clowns... So basically, the job of the rodeo clown, and they are trained, they are educated, is to attract the bull's attention during, like, bull riding so that the cowboy can escape from the arena safely. Like... The cowboy falls off the bull, the rodeo clown comes in, distracts them, and then they normally have to, like, run and hop out of the arena. Or take cover behind a barrel. Like, it's a dangerous job.
I thought rodeo clowns were just, like, silly.
No. No. They are also silly. Oftentimes.
You can be silly and serious, but that's crazy.
I think rodeo clowns are, like, the perfect encapsulation of, like, what rodeo is to people, because it is at the exact intersection between entertainment and competition, which I think is, like...
And danger. I feel like danger is very important to
that
a rodeo.
That does seem to be part of the appeal, yeah.
Like at a football game, if someone gets injured, everyone's like, oh, wow, that was really stressful, right? But I feel like at a rodeo, there's almost an expectation of injury, even if it doesn't occur.
Interesting. Well, yeah, the stakes, it seems like the risk is just fundamentally so much higher, and everybody's just on board with that for some reason. Yeah, exactly. It is a little odd, honestly.
Yeah.
but also, I think there's something with modern culture, and especially, like, how men interact with the world, where, like, mm-hmm. a lot of people feel, like, emasculated or whatever, and feel like the need to prove themselves in other ways, or
just watch Fight Club.
Yeah, they just feel so stagnant, and so they're like, okay, I have to go, like, play football, rodeo.
I'm gonna go wrestle an animal to the ground.
Whatever. And, like, I don't know that that's the most productive response.
But a hobby's a hobby.
And it's reinforced by, like, toxic masculinity. Like, it's, you know, I think...
Well, yes, machismo.
Yeah.
Machismo in association with...
Yeah. Like, it's hard to... It's hard... I think it's hard to be a guy. And it's hard to be a girl. They're just very different. Like, in terms of...
It's almost
I don't
like,
think that... I don't believe in gender binaries. It's almost like society... I just think that society treats different people in very particular ways, depending on the way they present themselves.
And maybe and maybe we should just be a little bit nicer. Crazy.
I do agree with that, ultimately. Yeah.
Almost like no one is winning.
Yeah. And honestly, like, going to a rodeo is more productive if you're trying to, like, reckon with your feelings than a lot of other things.
That's true.
And then I also wanted to say...
I want to go to a rodeo.
We'll do it. It's fun. And, I mean, you might not feel that way after we talk about some of the ethics. I don't know. But I wanted to also say that pre-World War II, as well as, like, the fancy twirling, the most popular races included Roman standing races, where riders stood with one foot on the back of each of a pair of horses.
Oh!
Yeah, pretty cool. So let's just, like, briefly, I didn't want to completely ignore, like, the ethics of rodeos, because that's kind of the thing that colors most people's point of view nowadays. Like, the way rodeos have operated haven't changed a lot in the past couple decades, except that more regulations have been put in place. And, I do think it's notable that rodeos at this point are, like, a pretty American thing, where there are participants from other countries, but there aren't, it's mostly Americans who are interested in it, to the extent, like, in the United Kingdom, rodeos are basically banned because of animal welfare laws. And they've been banned for, like, 100 years. Like,
oh, okay.
And...
it's like soda. It's become American by association.
Yeah, exactly. And there are lots of people who think that rodeos should just be outright banned, and I, you know, read a bunch of Reddit threads and just, like, a bunch of opinion pieces and stuff, and I couldn't ultimately make heads or tails out of it because there's just so many different perspectives. From what I can tell, like, it comes down to animal welfare. People feel like animals should not have to do anything.
Yeah.
But, like, if they're going to do something, rodeos are safer than, like, typical horse races. There's, like, the rate of injury is much lower. There was a survey of over 60,000 animal performances at 198 rodeos that indicated that only 27 animals were injured during this whole time, which is around 0.04%.
Like, wow.
They're, in terms of actual injury...
Yeah, that's not what I expected.
Actual injury, it's very rare. People will treat their horses differently. It seems most people in the rodeo industry believe that, like, their animals are so valuable that, like, you should be treating them well, and, like, you just naturally would treat them well because, like, a good bull costs a lot of money, and for breeding purposes, and a lot of people just feel, like, you know, a connection with their animals, so they're motivated to treat them well. But you do also have to train them to act like they're under duress during a rodeo. Like, a bucking bronco bucks because you do something to it. You put a harness on them that they don't like. And so that doesn't seem ideal either.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
You know? Mm-hmm. So do I think that rodeos are, like, fundamentally cruel? I don't think so, especially when compared to, like, the the cattle industry at large, like the way
yes
we all eat meat, like or at least
a lot of most us do. Yeah.
People eat meat, and that is worse
yeah
for the animal than rodeos are.
That's such a good point. It is.
Right?
Yeah.
But because of, like, animal welfare concerns, there has been evolution in rodeos. Like, they don't use prods in California anymore.
Yeah.
And that's probably good for the animal. Mm-hmm. Like, more regulations, I think, are ultimately a positive thing. I just don't know that banning rodeos would be. You know, I don't know. It's complicated. I would recommend everybody, like, if they're really worried always about rodeos, to look into it. But at large, it seems that, like, the people yeah who are involved in rodeos care about their animals more than the alternative, you know?
Well, and I also, I don't know, I often come across people who do not take very good care of their pets, whether they be exotic lizards, snakes, whatever. I feel like they're often not treated very well. People get things and don't realize their commitment. And I would trust a professional in a rodeo to take care of their horse more than I would trust anyone who buys a snake from PetSmart. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like splitting hairs at a point where it's like, just because it seems scary to you doesn't mean that that individual doesn't have compassion
yeah
for their animal. Yeah. When ignorance is so common, like, I would much prefer someone who understands their animal.
I tend to agree.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also, I don't know, it's so complicated. And you know how loathe I am to share any actual opinions on this podcast in case I get canceled? Like, it's...
Yes,
it's,
yes, Becca lives in fear. I live in
total fear, even though it nothing matters. But... rodeos are a very interesting cultural event. They're yes not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
And they don't seem to be that bad.
Well, Becca's pro rodeo, and that's it for us, folks. Gosh.
Becca's pro animal cruelty. yeah, do your research. I don't know. Feel free to school me on this. I don't know.
Feel free to school me. Feel free to find me in a dark alleyway and let me know how you really feel yeah about rodeos.
Oh, and I will definitely say that there are a lot of rodeos that are, like, unsanctioned by the PRCA, yes, the governing body. And so it seems like a similar, kind of a similar situation as zoos, honestly, where, like...
I was just yeah going to say, wanna, that's what this reminds me of. Yeah. So zoos in general, I worked, you know, at an invertebrate zoo, but a zoo nonetheless, and my husband has worked at several zoos now. If a zoo is AZA accredited, you can feel pretty confident about the way the animals are treated. Mm-hmm. But rogue yep zoos, tiger king yep zoos, like these like open safari, whatever, I have a crocodile in my backyard zoos are not, they're not good, and they end up harming the reputability of real zoos, as well as taking away a lot of zoos. When you visit them, the money you spend on your ticket goes directly towards conservation and animal welfare. Yeah. But a lot of these unaccredited zoos don't. So I recommend look. I always look up. I will not go to a non-AZA zoo. I refuse.
Yeah, no, that's wise. So, like, if you're really concerned about your local rodeo, you can look into if it's sanctioned or not. But
yeah, that might be a good way to just...
you know, peace of mind.
Then you're supporting, you know, who you want mm-hmm, to. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, there's my... What's the opposite of a soapbox? Where I just, like, get on a box and make some vague gestures.
There's my, I don't know, political campaign speech.
I'm like Kamala Harris over here. Sure.
Like, things should be better.
Okay, do you want to hear some very quick rodeo jokes?
Desperately. I will.
Disclaimer to the audience, if you just look up rodeo jokes, you're going to get a lot of the same really unpleasant, dirty joke. So this took some sifting. What did the cowboy say at his second rodeo?
This ain't my first rodeo.
Yeah, you got it. Yes. That one is very funny to me. So low, like it's
that's
so,
a good one.
It's
that's
so
really
low
good
effort.
It took me like what 2 seconds of thinking.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'd be curious.
All jokes should
I
be like that.
I wonder when the term "this ain't my first rodeo" became like an idiom. You know.
I wonder. I bet you it's from a movie
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Okay. How do you stop a bull from charging?
Remove its power supply? I don't know.
Well, that's pretty... Take away his credit card!
Dang it! Wrong kind of charge, team.
This isn't a pop quiz. There's no right answer. Your joke was...
I want to win.
I think your joke was exactly as good. What do you call a rodeo bull with a sense of humor?
I don't know. What do you call
it? Laughing stock.
Oh, that makes sense. I was like, Silly Bill, but that didn't make
that
any sense.
That would have been sweet. Okay, well, those are the jokes that I have for you. I didn't want to read any more rodeo sex jokes, so.
Amazing, thank you.
Do you have any
it's been
final
nice
words?
I don't think so.
On rodeos?
It's been nice talking to you, though. On rodeos? Yeah. I don't know. I want to go to one. I want to go to an accredited one.
Okay, there we go. On a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
How good do you think this episode was? Just give me like a little...
I think it's a 10, Becca.
No, like a student rating. Here, I'll send you an anonymous.
Anonymous for a 1 out of 1 class.
A Google form.
There's only
you
one.
You don't have to put your name. I won't even see your email.
I just got... I haven't gotten my student reviews yet, but I taught, you know, a lab section, and I had a couple students who I thought hated me just by the way they acted, you know. And then on the last day, one of them turns to me and said, "Hey, by the way, Tegan, this was the best biology class I've ever been in. Thank you so much. I really hope you get to be a professor someday." And I was like, "Oh, thanks. That would have been so cool to know 3 weeks ago when everything you said made me on edge."
Oh, you should not value your students' opinions as much as you seem to.
I know. I want them to be
happy. You are
happy.
Better than them. You are above them in every way. You know more.
Some of them are taller than me. And I did, on my birthday, they asked me how old I was. And I was like, "Oh, I'm turning 26. And one of the girls went, "Oh, so you're old?"
Whoa. I was trying
26.
To figure out if you were turning 26 or 27. Oh, happy birthday, by the way. This is birthday episode. Tegan,
thank
birthday.
Thank you. Tegan, birthday episode.
Should we talk about birthdays one of these days?
Oh, that would be so much fun.
Okay, we'll have to save it for April, and then we can maybe...
Yeah.
Or it would be kind of funny to
we
do
can have a Becca birthday
be like
episode.
A Christmas episode.
What if we did it for the podcast's birthday?
Oh, what's the podcast birthday? Do you think it's the day we first released an episode?
Yes, I think so.
How many? It's been like 3 years or something.
Yeah, it's been a weirdly long time. But it also feels like it's been
like
6 months.
I counted that we released 41 be more specific episodes, and like I got like dizzy this morning.
She did. She texted me. Did you know?
It would take like...
That we've released.
It would take like 42 hours nonstop to listen to everything that we've put out into the world.
Sorry. Wait, I can't hear you. My mother's calling me.
Wait, what happened to you? I can't hear you anymore.
Wait, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Sorry, my mother called me.
Jennifer. Love
Jennifer.
You, Jennifer. Does she listen to this?
We love you, Jennifer. Sometimes.
She probably won't listen.
If
she's
it interests
not gonna listen
her.
To the rodeo episode.
Hey, Mom, let me know if you listen to the rodeo episode. Thanks.
Michael will let her know.
Yes, you're right. That's probably exactly what will happen.
Okay, well,
it's been real. What's something they say at rodeos when they end them?
That sounds like the setup to a joke.
It's not. It was a question.
What do they say at rodeos?
Goodbye, maybe. Or maybe adios, honestly.
Good luck, vaqueros.